Hello, hello. Listen up, all my Joey pals. If you win the Joey English Red Hot Treasure Chest in home and services, kids and pets, shows and tours, get fit and makeover, or restaurants and romance, we'll see you at our beautiful studio, downtown Palm Springs, and you'll have a chance to win passes for two up and because we love you down, the Palm Springs Aerial Tram, pstramway.com, 325-1391. You have a choice of a day trip for two or a deposit on an international tour worth up to $200 from Steve at act-tours.com, 322-1247. A $95 90-minute psychic reading from Lalo Tachikin, lalovisions.com, 401-1810. And you'll have a chance to spin the Extreme Home Makeover Joey Edition wheel, and one of you will win. CV Fog has a $500 gift certificate from Mark to sanitize and disinfect your entire house or office. Get rid of all viruses, bacteria, germs, and pathogens. Safe for adults, children, seniors, and pets. It lasts 45 to 60 days. CV-fog.com or 799-6361.
Hello, hello, Joey pals. This is Mark from CV Fog. You'll enjoy your home or office so much more after I sanitize and disinfect every inch of the whole space for you and your family and clients.
A $1,500 security system from Steve at MaximumSecurity.info, 770-0777. A $500 Revivals gift certificate where everything you buy benefits DAPHealth.org. Revivalsstores.com, 318-6491. A $500 gift certificate from Oliver, family-owned Squared Construction. You can use it toward a project for your home or office, new or updated construction, 808-7550. Or go to Squared Construction, that's C-O-N-S-T, SquaredConstruction.com.
Hi, Joey Pals. This is Oliver Torres. Let my family at Squared Construction take care of all the building needs for you and your family.
And after you have become a satisfied customer of Squared Construction, then you are eligible for a one-time referral fee of $500. A $500 gift certificate for paralegal services from Gary Whitehead and Associates. Gary's prices are a fraction of what you would pay for legal fees and are completely legitimate. Save money on small claims court, evictions, uncontested divorces, wills, bankruptcies, and so much more. SanDiegoParalegal.net and 858-705-9270. And then there's always cash, cash, cash. So whatever you do, don't miss a minute of the Joey English Show.
Joey, 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 Joe.
What happens in the Coachella Valley happens to be talked about here. That's why they call her the voice of the desert. Sit back, relax, and make sure you're wearing red and eating chocolate. Because this, friends, is the Joey English Show. From her Tockwitz Loft studio with a bird's eye view of beautiful downtown Palm Springs, here's Miss Joey English.
Good morning, Palm Springs. Welcome to the Joey English Show. Do you know what that is? That means if you're up nice and early with us at 5 a.m., you're on the legendary KWXY, 1340 a.m. and 92.3 FM. I'm the opening act for McGrath in the Morning, and we end up with my music. Then Dan will play everybody else's music, and he'll get you dancing around your house until 9 a.m. Then you can switch over to our other iVox station. That's KKGX Radio, 920 a.m. and 99.1 FM, and listen to the Joey English Show. How about that? If you've got your day timers close to you, this is Thursday's Joey English Daily Datebook. The Women's Leaders Forum of the Coachella Valley presents Coachella Valley Women's Mayors tonight, 5:30 to 7:30 at the Classic Club. Details at wlfdesert.org. UCR presents Mapping Migraciones, or Migraciones, help me, Birds Without Borders, today at 6 p.m. with Marcos Trinidad. It's virtual. Sign up at ucr.zoom.us. And the Steinway Society has rescheduled their fundraiser honoring Bill Marx to April 3rd at the Classic Club. Details, steinwayriverside.org. Okay, Joey pals. The Palm Springs Walk of the Stars is something you're familiar with. The Hollywood Walk of Fame is something you're familiar with. But on the Joey English Show, because we're radio, we do the Talk of Stars. Get it, get it, get it. And we're so honored to welcome to this hour the one, the only treasure here in the Coachella Valley and worldwide. Oh, I'm sorry, our time's up. We say hello to Bill Marx.
Welcome, everybody out there. And I am on talk radio, whereas my father didn't talk at all.
Yes.
So in case you're not familiar with me, which it doesn't surprise me at all, my father is Harpo Marx.
Now, the way this works, I have rules you'll be surprised to know. We do the first segment all about your childhood, second segment about your career, and the third segment about your hopes and dreams and the book and the museum and all those things. So start off with where you were born.
I was born insignificantly in a place called Queen of Angels Hospital in Los Angeles. And I was there for a while, and then I was shipped over to Children's Home Society in Los Angeles. I was there to be adopted subsequently by my father and mother. And I can't think of a greater gift in my life than to have been adopted by Susan and Harpo. And from that point on, I wound up in a very sleepy little town called Beverly Hills, California. Before it became Beverly Hills, it was just a mom and pop place, and it could have been in the middle of Iowa somewhere. It didn't matter, but it was a little place where a lot of people that are involved in the entertainment industry, the mostly motion pictures, lived, because it was close enough to the studios that they worked at, whether you were a technician or an actor or whatever. That's where I grew up, and it was a very, very different town from the way it is now. So if you go through Beverly Hills now, I don't think you'll see Beverly Hills. I think you'll see something else, probably closer to New York, I guess. I don't know.
Now, did you go to public school? Were you privately schooled? How'd that work out?
I wound up in a little school called Hawthorne Grammar School, and it was in the school system, the regular school system. And from there, I went to Beverly Hills High School. A lot of people have gone to Beverly Hills High School. A couple that you probably will recognize, Andre Previn, just to name one. And that was the place you went. If you were living in Beverly Hills, you go to Beverly Hills High School. And it incidentally still exists. And maybe the most important feature of Beverly Hills to this day, people still talk about the swim gym, which is still there And it was built in, I guess, the early 40s. And it's a convertible basketball court, and it opens up into a swimming pool, an Olympic-sized swimming pool. And it's called the Swim Gym, and it's still there. And I went to Beverly Hills High School, and somehow or another, I graduated. I did get to perform a piece of music of mine that I was asked to write for our graduation, but that was about the only time I was involved in music at all there, which has been my life, incidentally, music. Other than that, I've led a most dull existence.
Oh, yeah, right. College?
I immediately enrolled in UCLA for 6 months, but I got out because my dad and mom decided I ought to get my active duty out of the way. I had been in the reserves of the Coast Guard for 2 years, and they said, let's get rid of your active, and then you can go and do anything you want. So I went into the Coast Guard, and I served. I was so proud of myself. I got overseas pay. And what happened is I was on the USS Minnetonka, which was a Coast Guard cutter, and I got to escort the yacht races to Ensenada and back. And that was my overseas duty, yeah.
Bless your heart. Did you grow up, of course, in the environment that was Harpo? Did you ever want to play the harp? Was it music all the time in the house? Describe that a little bit.
Well, my dad knew I had musical talent, which I take no credit for. My birth parents gave it to me. But when they adopted me at the age of 1 and a half, that was me, not them. what happened was they found that I really had this talent, and they recorded. We had a thing called a Victrola. You could even record stuff on it, and to this day, I still have me at the age of 2 and a half singing perfectly, Take Me Out to the Ball Game. And it's been kind of a linchpin song for me all my life. Baseball has been a metaphor for my life because when I was introduced to it when I was 4 years old, it ultimately represented not only team play but individual ability as well, and so I developed slowly as a musician because I really didn't want to be a musician. I really wanted to be a professional baseball player. But because I wasn't that good, I was kind of forced into taking piano lessons from various people and playing music that didn't sound like music to me, like exercises, scales, and Czerny and all those guys that were totally unmusical, but they could they knew one note from another. And so I balked always at, this is not music to me, until one day my dad was playing something on the piano. He was a pretty good piano player. Oh. And I said, what is that? And he says, I'm going to a guy by the name of Charlie Crenshaw. I'm learning a couple of songs. And he was playing a song called Sweet Lorraine. And it's a wonderful old song, I said, gee, I really like the arrangement of that, and I've never played any popular music or any of that. We called it popular music in those days. So I started going to Charlie Crenshaw, and Charlie was a wonderful man.
Go ahead with the Harpo and Lucy story, and Harpo and Groucho story.
Okay. Yeah, that's nice.
There we go.
Okay. Most people that are still alive and vertical will only remember, and of course, from then on, of course, whenever you see the Lucy show, that's the first time they ever saw the mirror sequence that occurred between Harpo and Lucy. However, it was a tough haul for Dad. He really had to practice because he wound up playing Groucho's part so that Lucy could play Harpo's part. So that was a week of rehearsals and then doing that show. It was really quite a special, probably the most special event in my life in terms of show business that I ever had with him, except maybe the London Palladium, where we played in front of the Queen and all that kind of stuff when I was 12, and I was a part of the act then. However, the Lucy show is probably the most striking of all of my theatrical moments in my life.
How many times did they have to do that? I mean, it's a brilliant scene.
Well, they were able to shoot it in different segments. Yeah, if you look at it, it's not one shot. As a matter of fact, in the original, in Duck Soup, where Groucho and Harpo did it, there was only one or two cuts, really. And for the most part, it was one of those things where it just seemed to click ultimately.
Yes, yes.
Ultimately, it clicked. She was just wonderful in that. And she always was wonderful in everything that she did.
Tell us about what it was like in the Marx household. I mean, Groucho and Zeppo and Harpo and one more.
Gummo.
And they came and went, and every other star of that era. Did you realize what your environment was really like?
I only realized who I was with in terms of their value to other people when I was 12 years old. And in England, we played the British vaudeville circuit there together for 3 months. And I began to understand that my dad was popular with people all over the world. And I had... you know, you live your own life in your own little world, and you just think of him as Dad and Mom and Uncle Groucho and Uncle. You don't think of them as the way people who don't know them think of them, because they only have one kind of view of them. Where I lived with, and I would go to lunch often at a place called Hillcrest Country Club, and that's where I'm coming to, where all of the former vaudevillians and stars of that time would congregate and have lunch every day. And I got to sit with Burl and Jessel and Danny Kaye and a fella that I can honestly say we share a lot with, you and I. You were working with George Burns for what, how many, 14, 15?
27.
27 years? Oh, my God. And the reason why I'm sitting here and talking to you right now is simply because I wouldn't be here if it weren't for George and Gracie. They had gotten two children by adoption,
Ronnie and
Sandra. And when Susan and Harpo got married, it was about 6-7 months later, my mom said to Dad, you know, we really ought to we really ought to have a family, shouldn't we, now that we're married? And George happened to be Dad's closest friend, period, from vaudeville all the way on. And they called, and they called George and Gracie, and they suggested, because they had just adopted two children, that we run down to the Children's Home Society. They'll find you something. And they went down there, and they found me something. It turned out that they brought me home after a couple of months. All of this is in greater detail in a book that I wrote.
We'll get to the book. We're not into that segment.
I'm just saying that. Okay. A book that I wrote some years ago, in 2007, and they still, you know, print one or two copies a year. Anyway, it's all very more clearly defined there. They brought me home, and the rest is my own history.
But you know, you had the genetics. You found out that your birth parents were musical, and you had the environment of Harpo Marx and all of that. That's wonderful. Were you an only child?
I was an only child until they couldn't stand it any longer. They said when I was seven, they decided, we've spoiled this kid too much. Let's go out and find a couple more to spoil. So they wound up adopting three more children, Alex, Jimmy, and Minnie. And we all grew up in an environment that was a blessing to all of us.
Are they musical?
None of them had any musical ability whatsoever. One wound up taking care of nuclear submarine telescopes. Another one was a night watchman at Diablo Canyon. And my sister married her childhood sweetheart when she was 19 years old and lived happily ever after. So there was just no connection whatsoever. My parents, my mother was a pianist who used to play for the silent movies.
Oh.
And my birth father was a fellow who wanted to be a cantor. He was studying to be a cantor. And the reason they couldn't get married in 1938, I believe it was because there were no Catholic Jewish marriages allowed, you know, in at least in her family. So.
Remember George and Gracie's story. George always said, 40 years ago, I found out I had talent, and I married her.
That's such a beautiful thing. Oh, he was amazing. I to this day, I will remember seeing him at Hillcrest when he was about 98 years old. And I went over to him, and he was standing there, and he looked at me, and he put his arms around me, and we hugged each other, and I was just hugging bones. That's all it was, but I remember it so vividly. And he was always so gracious to our family and to Dad. When what a terrific guy. He said, I'm not worried about dying. I already did that a week in Altoona.
He used to call me at Christmas, and he'd say, hi, kid, Merry Christmas. And I'd say, George, you're Jewish. And he'd say, no, kid, today I'm God.
Oh, that's lovely. That's wonderful.
We have great memories. So you had a happy childhood.
I had, I didn't know it was going to be anything else. Pretty much so. We have our likes and dislikes, our happinesses and our sorrows in our own little bitty orbit. But I have no complaints. I have no right to complain about anything. The only bad things that have ever happened to me are my own fault, you know, my own choices. But in terms of being allowed to have choices, that's the greatest gift I got out of life. When you can make your own decisions and nobody else makes you do something, except I must say that my folks insisted that I go to New York. My dad and mom, both from New York, they, after I got out of the Coast Guard, they said, you're going to go to New York and learn some street smarts.
When we come back, Joey Pals, we'll go to the next segment about the career.